You want your children to have pleasure, but you don't want your children to love the toy over you. God, as a father, gives us our next breath. He doesn't want us to worship this world over against Him. He gave it that we would enjoy it, but to praise Him and worship Him in while we're here. Devil, one thing the devil, the greatest thing the devil hates is your praise of the Lord. He does not want that. To thank God, thank the Father for what He's given. How would you like to be a father and your children never talk to you? You know, you give them all these gifts and they don't say thanks, Dad. See, look at John 17. Father, you gave me these men. Father, I've been faithful to you. The whole life of Christ was about the Father. He's given us that same, you know, our Father which art in heaven, to glorify and praise Him for all the blessings we have. Those children aren't yours. They are not given to you, for the world. They are given to you that you would train them up in the admonition of the Lord. That's right. That they would learn to glorify the Lord and thank Him for all the things that He's given. Because that's our life. But this whole, you see, the dialectic destroys that. It has no other purpose but to remove the child's feelings, thoughts, and actions and relationship from godly restraint and godly love. It just comes back here. This human relationship. Ever heard of human resource? Human resource department? You know what you do with resource? Iron ore. It's a resource, right? You take it and you manipulate it. You know, you don't leave it as iron. You heat it up, you put a little carbon in it, you produce steel. Look at all the neat stuff we have. Everything we've done. This whole building was manipulated. God created the tree, but we did what? We cut it up and we nail it on walls and we manipulated it. That's what you do with resource, to create what we want. We have to destroy, by the way, to create. Only God could create without destroying. So we redesign. We don't create anything. It's an illusion. It's over here. We think we create. We're just destroying to rearrange. But how many of you woke up this morning going, man, I can't hardly wait to be manipulated? Did you do that? No. But if you consider yourself human resource, if you refuse to be manipulated, you're worthless. Hey, are we really this dumb? Yeah, we are. This is all about seducing you with your feelings, deceiving you. See, because you trust. See, the guy comes in smiling. You think he has your best interest in mind, your children's best interest in mind. He's deceiving you because he's thinking about himself. What can I get out of you for me? And he's manipulating you. It's amazing. I go to Scripture, and God defines it through covetousness. That's what you want. They with feigned words, lying to you, make merchandise of you. You become human resource. There it is. All through the Word of God, God has been warning us of this very process. And yet it's all around us and nobody sees it. And why don't we see it? Because He said they're blind. Because the moment you make your feelings the foundation of right and wrong, you're blind. And without the Lord coming into your life and chastening you, sometimes He has to bring you down. He has to break you down. You know, job fails, everything, and finally you're to the point, God, I can't do it. You finally realize you can't do it. And until you get there to realize you cannot do it, Paul says, I can't do it. Who can deliver me from this? Until you're there, you will not see the light. You will not understand that you need the Lord to deliver you from yourself. See, and that's what the world said. We'll just keep giving them pleasure, 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 pleasure. And how can you rescue society? This is the Tower of Babel. God could, you know, God had to break up the language. Because it was pleasure. It was a world of pleasure. And God had to break it up. And so they couldn't communicate. So if you don't know what somebody else is saying, you don't trust them, see. And so you're not trusting a man anymore. And you're looking for direction. And you start saying, this is mine and not yours. And you produce culture again. This is all against culture. They call it a culture war. See. So there's a lot. I mean, we can go into the history and all this stuff. But I'm just trying to give, you see, I'm focusing on this father authority. The whole thing was to destroy the father. Nothing else. Nothing else but the father's authority. So we separate the kids. We set the kids up there and dad and mom down here. I'm just saying, get the kids next to mom and dad, and you know, if they're misbehaving. Yeah, you know, we were at one church in California, and his dad got up and took his child back to the room, and he spanked him, and you could hear the child screaming and hollering. And the minister later, he was sort of upset, you know. And I said, well, wait a minute. They had written over the crying room, and the kid was doing exactly what it said. It's a crying room. Let's solve the crying. You know, bring a peaceful fruit of righteousness, and he'll come sit down here, and you see why they're going after spanking? You know, the Bible says, spare not the rod. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Look at our whole culture. So this is protect your children, you know. And it deals with their soul. It's not just a physical protection, but their soul as well. If there's not a father giving rules and commands to be obeyed and facts and truth, you know, to be returned, to accept it as is, that's faith. So that means dad's got to be right. He's got to be seeking the truth. And if he fails, you know, there's times you talk to your kids, you know, I was wrong here. I make mistakes. You know, I'm a child too. God's working on me, just like I'm working on you. And he's working on you. You know, and bless those who are, they need the blessing. They need the encouragement. They need the love. They need the affection. My dad never hugged me, never told me he loved me. And I was always looking for that. I wanted my dad's approval, never got it. But one night the Lord actually gave me a vision, and it was a board, and he said, read, and it was all gibberish, and I didn't, why, there was no way. I'm an intelligent person. I'm not going to read something that sounds like a fool. And so I fought with him for a while, and then I finally said, okay, I'll read. And the moment I said, I opened my mouth, the words were clear, and I spoke it. And it was coming to me, my children, arrest. I know and know that I'm your father. And at that moment, I was in my Heavenly Father's arms. I met my father. See, and all that loneliness, all that anxiety was gone. See, it didn't matter what my dad, it's my Heavenly Father. He's my father. And I had peace from there on because I met my father. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to know our Heavenly Father, who cares about us enough to send His Son to die for us. So that's the joy of the Lord. The world doesn't have it, cannot understand the joy of the Lord. See? So I encourage you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. That's where the pain, rubber meets the road, that's where the pain is. And let Him be the one who directs your steps. Otherwise, we're just adrift with the world out there in the ocean without an anchor. So, any questions, any comments, anything to, any corrections? Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Well, this is an overview. Sometimes I'll have the whole day thing and we go into a lot of the other quotes. But this is a chart even professors are using now. They'll say, if you don't have a thesis position at the end of this class, I'll flunk you. They're bringing the students back to, you've got to be able to. Apologetics is not only explaining what you believe, it's what you don't believe. See? And that's a problem. People are not saying this is wrong. They're just saying this is right and leaving the rest alone. Well, you never develop a position. Apologetics is, that is wrong, this is right. So this is why you study, to show yourself approved unto the Lord. You go to His Word, His Word, His Word, and then you can tell what's wrong. Even though you might not know, you might not be able to explain, you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. That's this knowing. The world says knowing is experiential. That's Gnosticism. Knowing to the world is, you've compromised. Now you know. You've tried everything, you know, now you know. Even Maslow said, death can be a learning experience. What a fool. These are madmen. And we've put them up on the altar and we worship them in education and marketing and all throughout our society. Leadership of this nation, obsessed with this stuff.